Production support for Earth Eats comes from Elizabeth Rue, enrolled agent with Personal Financial Services, assisting businesses and individuals with tax preparation and planning for over 15 years. More at personalfinancialservices.net. And the Clean Bedroom, offering organic mattresses, adjustable beds, and pillows, helping mindful customers create a sustainable and organic clean bedroom, step by step. New York City, Boston, and now Indianapolis. More at thecleanbedroom.com. Welcome to Earth Eats. I'm Kate Young.
I think chefs have a position where they can lead. And we eat every day. And why not eat a little better?
Today's show looks at one of the ideas for reducing meat consumption in the U.S. It's called the Blended Burger, and it's sponsored by the James Beard Foundation and the Mushroom Council. We'll speak with two chefs trying out the burger on their menus and find out how it tastes. Our news team has the week off, but we have a story from Harvest Public Media and a recipe from Susan Mintert of Indiana Home Cooks, so stay with us. Consumers are buying more certified organic fruits and vegetables every year, and much of it's grown on small farms in the Midwest and Plain states. To comply with organic rules, some use livestock to provide natural fertilizer. Harvest Public Media's Amy Mayer reports it's hard to know exactly how well that works.
Mark Quee manages the farm at the Scattergood Friends School in eastern Iowa, where he grows fruits and vegetables for the boarding school students and staff. He's also got a handful of cows and calves, some turkeys, pigs, and a few sheep.
We're strongly committed to having livestock on our gardens as much as possible.
That's because as they root, peck, stomp, and yes, poop, they help nurture the soil. He's seen firsthand how turkey manure increases soil nitrogen. Indeed, composted turkey manure is available as an organic-approved fertilizer. But he's been curious about whether letting the sheep graze after he harvests, say, broccoli, will actually improve the crop he plants the next year. So with another farmer and help from an agricultural nonprofit, he set up a formal trial. They're comparing plots where sheep grazed and others where they didn't to see how the next crop fares. The plots are segregated by movable electric fencing.
So it's kind of a pain to plant, but if it gives us good data, it'll be worth it.
Last year, the trial only looked at the harvested broccoli, measuring size and weight. The results, Quee says, were inconclusive. He couldn't determine what, if any, impact the sheep had.
It's hard a lot of times in these smaller trials to get meaningful results. So this year we added a lot of soil testing.
Quee's questions about the tangible benefits of grazing are the same ones Iowa State University horticulture professor Ajay Nair has been looking at. Many organic farmers tell him they think grazing is beneficial, but they want to know details.
Nobody could quantify, okay, if I have chicken, what value does it bring in terms of adding organic matter to the soil? How does the nitrate content change?
Without better information, organic farmers can't make informed decisions about whether it's worth the investment to add livestock. Using a small federal grant, Nair and a grad student designed a study to see how a flock of broiler chickens would impact the soil. Last year, the chickens pecked and nibbled from inside lightweight, portable coops on a field that had grown broccoli. This year, lettuce was planted on those plots.
We do see benefit in terms of having the same quality of lettuce, but with reduced input. We did not apply any nitrogen. It was already there.
That's good for several reasons. The soil is healthier, there's less nitrogen lost to waterways, and the farmers could potentially save money on organic fertilizer. Nair cautions that his study is limited and he doesn't have concrete numbers on cost effectiveness, but he's encouraged and hopes to address additional questions in a larger, longer project. At Grade A Gardens in the Des Moines suburb of Johnston, Jordan Clausen has all the evidence he needs. He has 300 egg-laying hens that he rotates through the fields. their manure has drastically reduced his fertilizer budget.
I was spending about $2,000 in fertilizer every season, and now I'm letting the chickens kind of do that.
Take his garlic, for example. He says in fields where the chickens have been, the garlic comes up darker and bigger. He credits the nitrogen in the soil. Plus, he thinks pasture improves the quality of the hen's eggs.
I don't know why more people don't use them. It's more work, obviously. You know, every night you got to lock them up, and every morning you open them up.
Claussen has two large mobile coops that sit on trailers so he can move them each week. That prevents manure from concentrating in one place. Then, throughout the year, as fields are harvested, the chickens rotate into different ones. His CSA provides a regular market for the eggs, which made adding the first 100 chickens pencil out in his budget.
But I never thought of myself as wanting to be a chicken farmer, but I love them.
Still, when he decided to expand and increase his flock, it took a Kickstarter campaign to build the second coop. That might be an option for small farms with loyal customers, but it will take more number crunching and a few more seasons of studying sheep and chickens before researchers can say how much grazing might help an organic farm's bottom line. Amy Mayer, Harvest Public Media.
Harvest Public Media reports on our food system from the heartland. Find out more at harvestpublicmedia.org.
Okay, Kate, the 4th of July is behind us. The end of summer is around the corner. I think it's time to talk about burgers.
You mean like lentil burgers? I'm not really into them.
Hamburgers, Kate. Who eats lentil burgers? Besides me, I mean.
Right. Hamburgers. Okay, what about them?
We eat a lot of them. In 2012, Americans ate 50 million burgers. That's 3 burgers per person per week.
That's a lot of burgers.
Yeah, and it's a lot of land and water, too. It takes 1,800 gallons of water to produce 1 pound of grain-fed beef. And we use 8 times more land to feed animals in the U.S. than to feed humans directly.
Wow. Have you heard about the Blended Burger Project?
Is that like the Impossible Burger I've been hearing about?
No. This one uses real beef, just less of it. I talked to a couple of chefs about it up in Indy. Let's hear from them.
It's a burger, and it's our secret bar burger. When we first opened 7 years ago, we had a burger on the menu, but we were selling them like hand over fist. And I'm like, I don't want to be the burger place. Check average wise and just the style of the restaurant. So we made it a secret item in the bar only. And so the regulars know about it. It's not on the menu. And we sell a half dozen or so a night. I think that's always the best sort of way with restaurants is word of mouth, you know, and people, I think, enjoy telling someone about a secret that they have or telling someone about a place that they know or a place where they're a regular. And that's always, I think, the best kind of marketing there is. We bake the bun in-house. Comes with caramelized onions and aged white cheddar, a little bit of lettuce. And it's a hit. It's a 2-patty burger, 4 ounces each. And we serve it with our fries, which are tossed in a bone marrow butter, and jalapenos. So it's pretty popular. Ryan Nelson. I'm the chef owner of Late Harvest Kitchen. We opened Late Harvest Kitchen in November of 2011, and pretty much all of the beef and lamb and pork and rabbit and chicken and duck is all sourced from Indiana farms. We do our best with produce when we can, when weather allows. I guess you would label us as farm to table. We have a gorgeous patio. We have a wonderful herb garden on the patio. This time of year, we don't buy any herbs. We have all of our own herbs. It's my wife and I's dream come true, this restaurant. We're participating in the Blended Burger Project. We've done that the last couple of years. It's an initiative through the Mushroom Council and the James Beard Organization. And it's essentially just kind of calling attention to a few things. A, that mushrooms are nutritious and good for you. B, that it takes less resources to produce a burger like this than it does that's one that's all beef. To produce 1 pound of ground beef in this country, it takes about 1,800 gallons of water. And I think a lot of people don't consider that when you're, I mean, that's a ton of water for like 1 pound of beef. So we've got about, I would say the mushrooms represent maybe about 30% of a reduction of beef. And then lastly, or C, most important, it's delicious. Mushrooms and beef go great together. I think chefs have a position where they can lead. And we eat every day. And why not eat a little better? You know, both in a manner that's healthy or in a manner that's better for, you know, the environment. And, you know, reducing our amount of beef that we're eating is probably a good thing.
Chef Nelson's going to show us how he makes his secret bar burger.
Here's our two patties. We've got some shiitake mushrooms, some cumini mushrooms, some portobello mushrooms. We just saute it with a little bit of shallot and garlic, some herbs, a little butter.
And they didn't look like they were finely chopped.
No, it's pretty rustic. You know,
yeah.
Pretty simple. Just salt and pepper, a little bit of oil to get it started. Go ahead and toast our bun and beat up our onions as well.
I love that your bun is made in-house, too. That's nice.
Anna and Meredith make, sometimes it's up to 9 different types of bread in a day. So fresh bread.
Yeah.
Yeah,
nothing ruins a good burger than a crappy bun.
I agree. And also, like, I would say that the meat to bun ratio is probably one of the most important things of the burger. You can't have like too much meat, you can't have too much bun. So the double patty works well with our large bun. Those mushrooms sear up great too. It's the same preparation, just added mushrooms. Let's be. I'm gonna stick this in the oven for a couple minutes. Sorry, it's right behind you. And we've had a great response from obviously it's a burger that's enjoyed by our regulars, and it's been 100% positive. Yeah.
No pushback at all?
None. I'm not sure people would even notice if you didn't say anything.
Man, why is this a little bit better today?
Yeah, our kitchen's pretty small.
Yeah.
When we're all in here at night, we can like reach out and like help everybody can touch each other.
It's more efficient.
It is. Everything has its place. If something's not in its place, you notice it. I'm going to grab it. It's probably pretty close.
Okay. Yep. Okay, and then a bit of caramelized
onions for some sweetness and depth of flavor. A little bit of lettuce. And then our remoulade sauce. Kind of our secret sauce, if you will. Kind of brings it all together. We top it. And because it's such a large burger, throw a knife in the middle. That way it stays upright when it goes to the table.
Yeah.
Voila.
Beautiful.
Thank you. I think that's a real American thing, too, is like sometimes you just want a burger. You know, like we're a quote-unquote like fancy or fine dining restaurant, but... Yeah. Burger, you know, everybody likes a burger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially at the bar, makes sense.
Casual, fun, 100%. It's kind of a knife and fork sort of burger.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I love that. I'm tasting the mushroom.
The mushrooms have that fifth flavor, the umami, yeah. And that works so awesome with beef. The flavors just play off each other. Plays off the fat, plays off the salty. It just... There's a reason why we love burgers, because in a way, they're kind of a perfect like mix of flavors. Yeah.
Yeah, that it only adds. It doesn't. You don't miss anything.
100%. Yeah, it's enhancing the burger for sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I like about it. I really hate fake meat and the whole trying to replace something or make it seem like it's something it's not. And with this, it just feels like you're just making it better.
I agree. Yeah, and we could probably add even more mushrooms to it, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's really nice. Thank you. Thanks for letting me try it.
My pleasure.
That was Chef Ryan Nelson of Late Harvest Restaurant in Indianapolis. After a quick break, we'll speak with Abby Maris, another chef up in Indy, about her blended burger. We've also got a straightforward summer recipe ahead from Susan Minter, so stay with us. Production support for Earth Eats comes from Charles Schwab & Company, Incorporated, whose local branch is now located at 1155 College Mall Road. Independent branch leader Jeremy Zeichner, CFP, and team offer personalized financial plans matched to investors' goals. More at schwab.com/Bloomington.
Need more coffee roasters? A woman-owned coffee bar and roastery dedicated to roasting organic, direct trade, and fair trade coffee from small-scale farmers around the world, offering signature drinks, teas, and little eats. Located on Pete Ellis Drive, needmoreroasters.com. And Elizabeth Rue, enrolled agent with Personal Financial Services, assisting businesses and individuals with tax preparation and planning for over 15 years. More at personalfinancialservices.net.
My name is Abby Maris. I am chef and co-owner of Bluebeard Indianapolis. We do a lot of sustainable foods here. We do a lot of local produce. Try to source many different proteins and vegetables as locally as possible. We do lunch and dinner. We're open 7 days a week. We have a great bar program. We have a wonderful atmosphere, and it's just constantly booming.
Bluebeard opened in 2012 in the heart of the Fountain Square district in Indianapolis. They've had great success, and they've expanded their dining rooms and bakery over the past 6 years. Amelia's, their bakery, is connected to the restaurant, but it also has its own storefront next door. Chef Abby Maris is participating in the Blended Burger project this year. And just a reminder, the Blended Burger is a mix of beef and mushroom.
I'm very happy to be included in it. I think it actually makes a better burger than just a regular ground beef patty. You know, especially if you cook the mushrooms in a proper manner, you know, and blend them up properly. And then, you know, you can build different ratios. It could be whatever you want. But yeah, I definitely think that the 25-75 blended is pretty stellar. But I also like the hard roast of the shiitakes. So I do have to go through a good amount of mushrooms to get that.
So could you describe your burger, the way that you're making it?
So we're doing, like I just said, 75-25 beef to mushroom ratio. The ground beef is from Fisher Farms, which is located in Jasper, Indiana. And we get roughly, if we're not grinding our own meat from them, we are just sourcing their ground beef that they already have on hand. I do roast the shiitakes off, and then I pulverize them in the mixer, or the Roboku, until they're pretty finely ground, and then I massage that into the ground beef patty, and I add a little bit of onion and garlic powder, some black pepper and salt, and then patty them out, and then I'm pan frying them so it gets a really nice crust developing on the outside of the burger, and then I put caramelized onions on top of that, and then some cheddar cheese, melt that down, and then the bun has like an herbed butter onto both sides of the bun, and then it's just a Bluebeard quote-unquote special sauce.
And does your bun come from the bakery?
Yeah, so Amelia's, they're doing a brioche roll that has sesame seeds, so they do make it specially for us every day.
Do you normally have burgers on your menu?
Yeah, I mean, at lunchtime, we typically have burgers, and then Sunday, we call it Sunday Fun Day is the menu, so we'll put, like, meatloaf sandwiches or burgers or tacos on, but yeah, there's always a burger on the menu somewhere. And currently it is on the menu for lunchtime only because it's been too successful. So we run out of the buns and the burger patties by the time dinner service starts. So
how do you think that this blended burger project, especially if it became more widespread, could impact our food system in a positive way?
It's hard to say. Hopefully it does work and hopefully it does pick up. I don't know why people aren't doing it more often with even out the title of the Blended Burger Project. I would love to even just make an all-mushroom patty sometime. I mean, I'm not a vegetarian by any means. If you knew me, I probably eat a cheeseburger once a day. I just had one of the burgers this morning for breakfast, so I'm very passionate about my burgers. But and it's a fun challenge, for sure. I did recently try one of those Impossible Burgers, and it is kind of strange, like with the soy protein. But, I mean, they're doing a good thing, obviously, and it is an interesting burger.
What my response to the Impossible Burger is, like, psychologically, I'm not sure I'm going to like it.
Like, I didn't know soy was supposed to bleed.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for meeting with me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been lovely to meet you.
Thanks.
So what do you think, Kate? Is it going to take off?
Well, the burgers are delicious. But to make a difference, it's going to have to be a large-scale shift, not just a couple of high-end farm-to-table restaurants.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense to start there. I'd say McDonald's advertising their burgers as at least 50% beef doesn't sound so appealing.
Right.
But eventually it is going to have to be fast food and schools and hospitals. To get a reduction in cattle, it's going to have to be industry-wide.
You're right. But wait, what about mushrooms? I mean, they taste great in a burger, but are we sure that they're a sustainable crop? Like on a mass scale, do they use less water, for instance?
Lucky for you, Kate, I looked this up. It takes 1.8 gallons of water to grow a pound of mushrooms. That's a tenth of a percent of what it takes for beef.
Whoa.
I know. Also, a pound of mushrooms only generates 0.7 pounds of greenhouse gases. For beef, it's over 600. And the average annual mushroom yield is about 7 pounds per square foot. Also, they can create their own nutrients from food waste.
Wow, so mushrooms can even help with food waste?
Yep.
It'll be interesting to see where this goes.
It will. This is the fourth year the James Beard Foundation has done the Blended Burger Project. Seems like it's starting to catch on. I want to try one.
Who knows? Maybe they're coming soon to an institutional cafeteria near you.
That'd be great.
Visit our website to learn more about the Blended Burger Project, eartheats.org. And now, after all those burgers, it's time for a recipe heavy on the vegetables. Late summer in Indiana means peppers and tomatoes. There's nothing like homegrown tomatoes, sweet off the vine, and the sweetest of those is the cherry tomato. If you've got a cherry tomato plant in your garden, chances are you've got more than you know what to do with. Once you've exhausted all the salad possibilities, try a dish that's just as quick and simple. Susan Mintert of Indiana Home Cooks walks us through the easy steps of a summer vegetable sauté. Start by removing the seeds of a couple of sweet peppers, any color, and then slicing them into a 1-inch dice. Cut your cherry tomatoes in half and rough chop a red onion.
So we're going to get our skillet started here on the stove, and we're going to have that heat just up to about a medium-low heat to get started, and we'll get our pan warmed up and ready to start our sauté. And this particular combination that I'm using for this side dish with these vegetables, I'm going to season with very simply just some salt and pepper, the olive oil that it's going to sauté in, and then I'm going to hit it with some balsamic vinegar at the end and a little bit of honey and some fresh basil. And today I've got some of the tiny little fresh mozzarella cheese balls, and you can get these in your grocer's deli section, cheese section. They just come in a little tub in water, and they're little tiny mozzarella cheese balls. I'm going to add those to the finished dish after it cools, and it'll be just a light sort of salad side dish to go with my meal tonight. So into the skillet, we've got our diced vegetables, the onions and the peppers. But I'm going for just a light sauté. I don't want to cook these all the way. I want to just soften them a little and bring out some of their natural sweetness. And I hope to get a little bit of a caramelization on the vegetables. And by that I just mean I'm just trying to get a little bit of browning on the edges of those vegetables. Maybe bring it up to medium heat here. All right, I've added just a pinch of salt to the vegetables and a little grind of pepper. And we give them a little toss, and we can see that they are starting to get that tiny bit of browning around the edges. So they're just about ready. And at this point, I'm going to add my grape tomatoes. Give those another toss. And with the tomatoes in there at this point, I just want to let that go until, again, they start to release a little of their juices and maybe get just a little browning on their skin, a little bit of that roasted look. All right. It's been a couple minutes with the tomatoes, and they look like they're good. They're getting just a little bit blistery, and that's what we want. So at this point, I'm going to give it a drizzle of balsamic vinegar and also just about a half teaspoon of honey. It's sort of the components of a salad dressing, what we have used so far. The olive oil, the balsamic vinegar, a little honey, some salt and pepper. And that is done. So we're just going to bring it off the heat and let it cool slightly. So we've finished our cooking process. We've allowed these vegetables to cool down quite a bit now, so they're approaching room temperature, and we're just going to finish this off. Add a little extra salt and pepper to this, and some fresh basil, and those mozzarella balls I talked about earlier, and maybe an extra drizzle of olive oil. And then take a taste, see if it's okay as far as salt and pepper. You might need to add a little more to your liking. And then there you have it, just a really quick and simple summer vegetable sauté, and it will go great with anything you're cooking on the grill. And in this particular dish, I've gone with the basil and balsamic vinegar, sort of that Italian bruschetta kind of flavor profile. But you can change that up as you like with other types of vinegars or other herbs and seasonings and spices if you want to go different directions.
I love a dish that's quick, easy, and adaptable. Mix it up with some zucchini, patty pan, or another summer squash. Throw in some mushrooms, whatever you like. We'll have the details from Susan Mentert at eartheats.org. You can find her podcast and blog at indianahomecooks.com. That's our show. Thanks for listening to Earth Eats this week. Be sure to keep in touch. We'd love to hear from you. eartheats@gmail.com. Production support comes from The Clean Bedroom, offering organic mattresses, adjustable beds, and pillows, helping mindful customers create a sustainable and organic clean bedroom, step by step. New York City, Boston, and now Indianapolis. More at thecleanbedroom.com. Charles Schwab & Company Incorporated, whose local branch is now located at 1155 College Mall Road. Independent branch leader Jeremy Zeichner, CFP, and team offer personalized financial plans matched to investors' goals. More at schwab.com/Bloomington. And need more coffee roasters. A woman-owned coffee bar and roastery dedicated to roasting organic, direct trade, and fair trade coffee from small-scale farmers around the world. Offering signature drinks, teas, and little eats. Located on Pete Ellis Drive. Needmoreroasters.com. Thanks to all the good people that help out with Earth Eats, including Aabon Binder, Chad Bouchard, Alex Chambers, Mark Chilla, Taylor Killow, Daniel Orr, all the folks at Farm Bloomington Restaurant, the IU Food Institute, and Harvest Public Media. Special thanks this week to Chef Ryan Nelson, Chef Abby Maris, the James Beard Foundation, and the Mushroom Council. Earth Eats theme music is composed by Aaron Toby and performed by Aaron and Matt Toby. Our executive producer is John Bailey. I'm Kate Young, signing off.